Disse podcastepisodene ble tatt opp på senhøsten 2021, altså I en tid hvor koronaviruset fortsatt forhindret slike produksjoner. Derfor har vi gjort intervjuer med gjestene over nettet, og lydkvaliteten på disse intervjuene kan derfor variere.
Hello, I'm Nicholas Carley, and today we'll be talking about African literature. Literature is a unique way of experiencing stories from other cultures, seeing life from another perspective. And there is a lot of exciting literature and perspective coming out of Africa these days. Together with my guest, I will be discussing some specific examples of this, as well as the rich tradition of African storytelling. My guest is Brita Strand Rangnes. She is an associate professor at the University of Stavanger, as well as being a literary critic. Hello, Brita. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
It's nice to hear you.
Likewise.
I would like to talk now about the surge of African voices in English literature that we are seeing. Tell me a little bit about what's going on there.
Well, of course, we have a lot of African writers. We've had a lot of African writers for quite a while, and we now have, of course, more than ever. So we now have a lot of African writers writing from within their own culture, from within their own experiences, and of course, contributing not to African literature, but to literature. So it's really great to see how much more diverse the field of literature is getting. And of course, we now just had the Nobel Prize for Literature was, of course, in 2021 awarded to an African writer from Zanzibar. So a lot of things are going on right now.
Would you say that we have just been ignoring them for a while, or is there something happening there that is catching the world's attention in a new way?
I'm not sure we have been ignoring, in a sense. I mean, that a lot of people have been reading African literature for a long time and enjoying African literature for a long time. And we have a lot of really important literary voices coming out of Africa for decades. So I'm not sure we have been avoiding. But I think that it's becoming more and more difficult to claim that you're well read without also reading African writers.
Right, right, yeah. So there's a very rich tradition in Africa of the oral storytelling. How does that translate into modern African English literature?
Well, of course, that is a bit problematic, isn't it? In the sense that the very etymology of the word literature is, of course, linked to letter, to writing, right? Mm. Of course, how do you then talk about oral traditions in literature? But we do see that a lot of African writers are incorporating this kind of oral storytelling, this tradition in their literature. And if we look at, of course, this is quite interesting in terms of why African culture, African storytelling has been ignored for so long, right? Because we have given preference to the written stories, not the spoken stories in Western culture.
Right.
So, of course, we then have this concept that was quite dominant for a long time, that there was no African literature because it was oral, right?
Right.
And it is, if we look at one of the most well-known, well-established African writers today, he is getting quite old. He was born in 1938 and he is Ngugi wa Thiong'o. He's a Kenyan writer who has written a lot of novels and essays and written in lots of different genres. He's been sort of suggested for or shortlisted for the Nobel Prize a number of times. But he, in 1986, Ngugi wrote a text that he called Decolonizing the Mind, which is, of course, this that that refers back to this concept of decolonizing African countries, right? Where they where African countries were to liberate themselves from their European colonizers. But his idea here is that it isn't enough to be decolonized physically, politically, geographically. You also have to decolonize your mind. And here Ngugi is talking a lot about this oral tradition that was really being suppressed by colonists, and that were that this oral tradition was neglected in schools, in education systems, and where classics, written classics, especially European classics, were given precedence. So Ngugi is one of the African writers who is trying to incorporate this storytelling, this what is referred to as orature, which is then, of course, the would be the equivalent of literature, just oral literature, right? Orature, where that would be incorporated into African writing, where he encourages and wants African writers to make use of that oral storytelling in their writing. And of course, the African continent is extremely diverse and it is very, very complex. So of course, we don't get an African literature. We get literatures from a lot of countries, from a lot of different peoples, from a lot of different societies, communities, classes, and so on. So we get a very, very varied we get very varied literatures coming out of Africa, just as we get very varied literatures coming out of Europe or United States or South America, or Asia, whatever, right? So we get a multitude of African voices.
Are there certain themes that are recurring or subject matters that are recurring?
Oh, that is really difficult to say, just like it's difficult to say about any sort of
continent.
But of course the themes are, a lot of the themes we will of course recognize. It has to do with because they're human, right? It has to do with tradition versus expectations versus individuality, has to do with elements of how do you grow in life, how do you negotiate your past. But of course there is a lot of the text will also deal with specifically African either conflicts or colonial and post-colonial issues, and it might deal with of course different geographical, cultural, religious aspects than, of course, any European or American literary tradition would do.
Tell me a little bit about Chimamanda Adichie. She's getting a lot of attention these days.
Yes, she's gotten a lot of attention for quite a while. She's a very interesting example of one of the most prominent African writers now. Adichie is Nigerian. She is from the Igbo tribe in Nigeria. And she has written several best-selling novels. Her most well-known would be Half of a Yellow Sun and Americana. But Adichie is also a very interesting example of a young African or a new African author, writer, sort of trying to negotiate the tradition that she's from with the literary tradition that she knows. And she has this, she's talked a lot about and written about her way into literature and how she sort of started writing. And she started writing at a young age. She's born in 1977, by the way. She's talked a lot about how when she started writing, when she was very young, I mean, as a young child, she was starting to write stories and sort of trying to do that as a lot of us do as children, writing our own stories. Mm. And was writing stories where every character had blue eyes. and everyone was eating apples. They were drinking ginger beer. They were talking about how wonderful it was that the sun finally came out. And she said, she's from Nigeria. No one had blue eyes. No one drank ginger beer. She'd never tasted or seen an apple. She ate mangoes. No one talked about the sun coming out because the sun was always out. But this was what she had read in every book that she had read, which were English children's books.
Right.
This is what was going on. So this was what she thought writing was. It was writing about these people. And it wasn't until she started reading books by another very prominent Nigerian writer, much older than Adichie, but Chinua Achebe, who is most well known, of course, for his novel Things Fall Apart. It wasn't until she started reading him that she realized people could look like her and still be a character in a book. People could be doing what she was doing and still deserve to be written about and to be read about, which was quite an eye-opener for her, because she didn't know that there was a way to represent her story and her truth.
So I guess perspective is the key word here. Seeing something from a different angle, from the angle of the person who actually owns the story.
Definitely. And of course, also problematizing who owns the story, because we all own stories, right? But we own different parts of the story. Mm. But of course, this is like... another example from Adichie here, she talks about how when she went to the United States for the first time, she had never before thought of herself as black. Because, of course, in Nigeria, that wasn't something that was problematized at all. And when she got to America, this was in the United States, then, of course, she had to navigate blackness all of a sudden. Right. And she's written a lot about this, and she's dealt with this a lot. And that quite a few African writers have, of course, negotiated this concept of what happens when you're transported from your society to, let's say, the people who have gone from former British colonies back to, and then moved to England, to London, for instance, or in the case of Adichie, moving to the United States, then becoming a non-American African, and how you navigate that, exposing and discussing and analyzing and drawing attention to the racism and the cultural biases and so on in the United States from a very different perspective than what we're used to. So of course this both deals with different perspectives within the culture, within the society, within the history of African nations, but also of course with the world, because as with any other great literature, as I said, African literature is world literature, and it deals with human, with global, with very sort of overall topics.
I want to know, if I was going to delve into African literature after this conversation, where would I begin, and can I expect anything special? That's what I want to know.
I don't think you should expect anything special. I think you should expect to find writers that you're going to love, writers you're not going to like, stories you recognize and that ring true for you, stories that you don't particularly pay attention to, just like you would any other sort of body of literature that you want to delve into. Because as I said, this is, we're talking about a huge continent. We're talking about very, very varied. I mean, but we can just, if we look at the African writers who've received the Nobel Prize in Literature, we have an enormous variety of people. I mean, according to the Wikipedia page, any writer born in Africa is an African Nobel Prize winner, like, for instance, Albert Camus or Le Clézio. I mean, they would France had claimed them as their own a long time ago, but they were born in Africa. And then we have African writers. We have two white African writers from South Africa. We have Ikatsa, we have Nadine Gordimer, white writers from South Africa. We have the Nigerian writer Wole Soyinka, and we have this year's Nobel laureate Abdul Razak Gurnah, who is writing from Zanzibar in Tanzania, who is writing from also drawing on the Arabic culture of Africa. So we have such an enormous variety. We have a lot of female voices from Africa. We have, for a long time, we have so many women writers who've been writing for a long time. We have new voices emerging. And I would say, start with whatever piques your interest. I personally have enjoyed very much a young writer from Zimbabwe called No Violet Bulawayo. She has, especially her novel, We Need New Names, where she also deals with both both her culture, a very specific Zimbabwe culture, but also deals with the United States, because her protagonist moves to the United States. So she's trying to negotiate both a very, very poor, destitute background in Zimbabwe and what happens when she then gets to the United States. Very interesting lens to watch both her Zimbabwean background and her encounter with the United States. But as I said, there are so many different voices, so many different books to choose from. So I would say, well, one way to start could also be by just listening to Chimamanda Adichie's The Danger of a Single Story, or one of her other TED Talks or other talks that are out there, and just having fun with it. Of course, if you want to read a classic, Things Fall Apart is never wrong. If you want to sort of read more about the political and read more of a non-fiction but yet historical account, I would definitely also recommend Decolonizing the Mind. But there are so many interesting, wonderful, both classic and very young writers emerging.
Yeah, I do feel a little silly now asking, you know, what is African literature like? It's like asking what color are fish. I'm curious, African literature, we're speaking about it as a whole. Are these translated texts or are they written in the English language?
Well, again, it all depends, of course, because African literature contains a multitude of languages, of course. Some are written in the colonial languages, be that French or English or whatever. Some are written in African languages. But the text that most of the texts that we've been discussing today are written in English, because we've been talking about literature from former British colonies, of course.
Right.
So yeah, these are writers that are very, very much part of English literature, in the sense that they are texts that are written in English. And of course, that opens up a global market, a global audience, of course. But there is, like, for instance, Ngugi, that I talked about already, he is very explicit in his text Decolonizing the Mind about him wanting African writers to start writing in their own vernacular, writing in their own African languages. And he himself has written a lot of his books, or over the last decades, his books have been written in his Kenyan language, Kikuyu, and then, of course, have been translated into English. So there is a variety of languages in African literature, because there is such a variety of languages in the African continent. But a lot of them are writing in the languages of the colonizers. Of course, also in many ways reflecting linguistic diversity within countries that have been randomly drawn, whether borders have been randomly drawn on a map, and whether linguistic sort of community will be the language of the colonizers rather than the vernaculars that can be very, very different and varied within countries.
Brita Sand Rangnes, thank you so much for your time.
Produsert av både og for en del av